I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Dak, what the f***?
It's your two favorite degenerates back. Another Day One Dolphins podcast, once again hosted by your boy Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me, as always, fellow lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt. Throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Follow our podcast Twitter at Day One Dolphins. Stay up to date with the boys. Today, we're bringing on a friend of the pod, Colby, over at Pro Football Pod. Talk about this Chargers game. Talk about what it looked like. Let's get down to it. What's going on, boys?
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Sitting pretty on top of the division.
I wish we were on top of the division.
We're on top of the division in my heart.
See, listen, Ouch. This is why we got to bring other people on the pod, because you just like to paint with just such a dark brush.
I'm just saying. I'm just painting with the colors that they gave me on the what do you call that thing? The palette.
Well, would you consider us the bottom of the division?
Absolutely not.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
I was about to say that's the Bills. Bottom of the division. Yeah.
Who's their quarterback?
That would be the Josh turned the ball over.
And who is my quarterback? And also y'all's quarterback.
That's that boy. Ooh.
Can I tell you guys something? When I was watching him on 3rd and 15 take a face mask and just throw a dart to a sliding Brax, and 3rd and 6 just step in and just launch one and just throw like these score-taking touchdowns, I just felt like the T.O. interview with the sunglasses where he's just nodding and crying. Like, that's my quarterback.
Yeah.
My quarterback, bro. I don't care about Josh Allen. I don't care about Justin Herbert. I don't care about anyone besides Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, you can have him. Burrow, he's great. But, man, that's our quarterback, dog. Look at him.
Oh man, what was your reaction there, Colby?
I mean, we've been begging for a player to be the clutch guy that makes the play whenever we need the play to be made, and the defense that's going to make the stop at the end. That game easily could have been similar to this Jets-Bills game we just watched, where the last drive, because our kicker missed the kick, we let them easily go down because they have plenty of time, kick the field goal, win the game, and there's just nothing that we can do about it. And instead, the Dolphins fans got the exact opposite. They got to live like all of these other franchises have just been living forever, where they don't just expect failure and then get it.
Ouch. Well, I know you were on the front lines. For anybody that's listening, Ouch was front and center. He returned to SoFi Stadium after we were there last season with everything that happened last season. What was the crowd reaction when Jason Sanders missed that extra point?
Oh, man, I couldn't even hear. I couldn't pay attention to what anyone was saying over I was probably the loudest person yelling about, you know, not nice things.
Don't let him fly home with us. Leave him here.
Yeah, I was calling him a bunch of names. People were like looking back at me, and I was just like, yeah. But
yeah, I mean it.
We were pretty close, man. You know, you have really good seats when most of the people around you like don't really watch football.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like super, super wealthy. But I got those seats like right when the tickets dropped, so it was a pretty good area. I got to see one side of the field more, I mean, not more, but better than the other, you know what I mean? Like, it was like kind of like I had like a corner end zone seat closer to the long side than the back of the end zone, but I got a really cool view of that touchdown pass to Craycraft.
Beautiful.
That was like right in my corner over there. It was awesome.
Honestly, man, good on you for going to the game, because you guys probably saw the Tua press conference after. They talked about how it felt like they were the home team at times, especially there in the fourth quarter, like getting loud on that last drive. We could hear it through the TV, it was obvious that it was loud in there, that like it wasn't just like this calm, cool, collected home field advantage. Like, you guys made it the Dolphins' advantage there at the end.
That was ouch. That was literally all you,
nah,
bro.
I lost my voice. I mean, it's coming back
if
today.
If you
but...
came back with your voice, I would have said that you weren't a real fan.
Yeah, no, I was going crazy. And I was legitimately surrounded by all, like, fair-weathered Charger fans. But still, ops. Like, they were just, like, they were leaving and stuff. They were just like, oh, my God. I can't. It was almost as bad as that time I was squirting sunscreen on the back of the Jets fan's neck at the Hard Rock Stadium telling them to go back north. It's too hot up here for them. They're going to get burnt.
That's the game I bumped into you, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
That was fire. I was with my dad, and I was like, me and him went into that one. We're like, yo, every single Dolphins game we've ever been to, we've lost. So if we lose this one, we're never going to a game again. And then we signed up for season tickets, and we're like, all right, well, if we lose, we have to like get that refunded and just add it to our Dolphins bucks and give it away or something. And then we won. And then we signed up for the season tickets with
broke
Ace.
The cycle.
You know what I mean? And look at us now.
Broke the cycle.
If anybody wants to listen back, you were bugging out at the end of last episode that you were bad luck. And what did you say you would do if we didn't win this game?
That I would never go to another game again. But this was, I'm just imagine me, like you went last time, you know, like you're pulling up to the same stadium. You're seeing all the Chargers fans in the local, you know, like this is their city.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, the reason that, you know, the away fan base has so much pull and, you know, it's a melting pot over here. Not only is it that, but it's a big tourist attraction. Like, you're going to go see a game of the year and you plan on leaving. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to Los Angeles, or you're going to go to Philly at night, or you're not going to go to Buffalo, New York, unless you're like a diehard fan like us, you know? So, like, I could see you going to a bigger city for that. That has a little bit of pull. But there's so many fans of every fan base out here. Like, if Dallas plays, you know, the Rams or the Chargers, it's 50% Dallas fans off the bat.
Yep.
That being said, it was a lot of Dolphins fans. Like, a lot. And we were turning up. And there were, we were screaming, like, you're high-fiving everybody around you and stuff, like, three seats over. I saw some Dolphins fans throwing hands down in the end zone.
I saw that. It was rowdy, bro. I said that to the boys. He was in a Cam Wake jersey throwing bows.
Yeah.
Dog.
There was some, I saw a Finkel jersey. I mean, there was like, thing is, there are a lot of, California didn't have, like football teams really growing up. Like, the Rams left. San Diego was the Chargers.
They had
and
Oakland.
Then like, yeah, so a lot of them became Raiders fans. A lot of them were 49ers fans. Like, that's really popular. But a lot of them also chose teams that were just kind of popular at the time. So you have a lot of Dolphins, and you have a lot of Cowboys, a lot of Steelers,
Giants,
Patriots, stuff like that. Yeah, some Giants. But you're seeing, because of that, you're seeing so many cool OG jerseys that are just like one-off players, you know what I mean? Not just Cameron Wake, like I'm like kickers from the 70s and like random linemen from the, like Dan Marino. Like, it just, there were some really good ones out there, man. OJ jerseys, they got man.
Did you run into them same fools we tailgated with, or some similar homies?
No, but I did see a lot of other people. Man, it was, the tailgate was definitely larger this time.
They were going in
like,
because
it's summertime.
Bro, that's so fire. Week one, the vibes are up. No one's worried about anything. Like, anything could happen, you know what I mean? So there's no reason not to go. And anything did happen.
You know how it felt that last time leaving. I mean, that was the worst. Like, we went to the worst game that we could have seen of the entire season last year. So, you know, I'm not being crazy pessimistic, but I'm certainly...
Coach. Don't know about that.
Coach.
I went to the Bengals game. I drove 5 hours to the Bengals game.
That wasn't right.
So...
All right, well, barring quarterback injury, a game that on the for the sake of watching the offense in Tua without injury, but yeah, you're right, that would have been worse. But it was the second worst game we could have gone and seen. And it was just, man.
And I'll say, it was after going to the Bills game the year before and Tua getting taken out in like the second drive, and then going to the Bengals game and him getting taken out in like the second drive, that did not deter me from going to the Steelers game at all.
See, I was about to say, I told Ouch to go and like make sure, like, you know, get it out your system. It's okay. You
Since you went to Dallas.
Say, you might need to stay home, bro. You might,
yo,
you might
come
not,
on, dog.
You might need to sit this next season out,
yeah,
dog.
Right, bro. Maybe playoffs, but before playoffs, get a game.
I was
going
to say, if we make it to the playoffs, you're going to have a hard time stopping me from going to a game.
Yeah, but before the playoffs, you know, you got the Steelers game in, so all right, we'll call it. But like, damn, dude, that's not
I'm
a good
pretty
run.
Sure I'm going to the Dallas game Christmas Eve. I'm pretty sure I'm going
that's
to that game.
That's going to be a crazy game.
That'll be a fun one.
Wait.
Julian texted me about that. I might bring Jack down and we might get the grill going regardless if we go to the game or not. We might just come throw down just because why not?
You said Julian texted you about that?
Yeah, me and him were texting. He was asking me like, hey, man, I've never really talked to you besides this like fantasy stuff. Like, what exactly do you do? We were just talking for a bit. And,
bring him on and he'll have him discuss the Chargers game.
Oh, dude.
Oh, he's a big old, huge old Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh well, then he can't.
No, we can talk about
year.
That game from last year.
He doesn't want to talk about that. And
no,
he doesn't want to talk about week
say.
One either.
What was that? Yeah. What was that guy's name that made a play that game that also made a play for the Cowboys this weekend?
Crazy, huh?
Noah
Igbinogheni contributed to my fantasy loss this week by returning a blocked punt on defense or special teams, and it's just the irony. Just felt so crazy.
See, this is it, Ouch. It's not really irony because I don't know if you've ever heard this term before, but it's mildly cliche. Big time players make big time plays in big time games.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't care about whatever games, and games are losing.
Dude,
but if it's
I'm glad Noah's season got taken. You know, I'm glad that the weather reporters were wrong about where it was going to land
for them, like on defense.
Bro, that was on that was on field goal block. Of course, he didn't.
I know that
special
that
teams.
That's
well,
my
yeah,
dude.
I mean, special teams special players teams. Also play, you know, during the game. Sometimes
he doesn't have a lot of defense. He doesn't need to do that to make
player.
An impact.
I'll give him that.
That's what I'm saying. He's that solid of a player. You don't have to put him in on offense. You don't have to put him in on defense. Still scores touchdowns. And he wasn't even the return man.
All right. We're getting back into the Chargers game now that Noah propaganda's been thrown around over here. If I had to go through, if we were actually going to analyze the game, right, now that we've gotten it out of our system, and we're going to talk about the players that we got to see in this, what seemed like a really crazy back-and-forth game. They were able to run the ball on us pretty much with no answer the entire game.
Unreal.
You know, everyone knows that. We passed a bunch of times. They asked Tua to pass the ball or attempt to pass the ball 45 times. Technically, it was more than that because he scrambled a couple times. But basically, I don't know about you, Colby, but Sutton and I talked about this in the podcast before, and we're like, run the ball. You know what I mean? Like, that has to be your game plan here. Teron Armstead's missing. You have to run the ball. You know, the Chris Greer comments about, well, you guys are probably more worried about the offensive line than we are, and him laughing it off. And, you know, there were a couple changes, you know, but for the most part, a lot of it remained the same, and we're missing the best person on the line. So not only did he just completely disregard any of what we would have deemed logic going into this game, but he just did exactly what he did before, essentially, but made it work with little tweaks to the offense. Other than that, individual players, I wrote a couple that I was talking about their stock, whether they go up, whether they go down. Figure we could all choose a couple guys on offense, choose a couple guys on defense.
Before that, Ouch. Before we do that, you're talking about running the ball. Coach, you want to hit on the differential on the offensive coordinators running the ball?
Well, my thing is the Chargers have the highest paid offensive line in football. Like, they have more money allocated to that position than anybody else in the league. So they are supposed to be the best team at running the ball. I don't think that going into the game planning, trying to beat them at their own game is the way to do it at all. I think that the way that we were able to game plan our quick passing offense is able to be 20-yard chunks because of our receivers. We don't have to hold the ball for more than 3 seconds, and we can get 15 yards at a time, no problem.
It's kind of insane.
I think that
It's literally, it's actually terrifying when you watch college football and you see how far receivers get in 2.5 seconds, because Tua's getting the ball away in under 3 seconds every single one of those throws, and every single one is 20 yards. Like, dude, how?
His depth of target was over 10 yards with his release, his time to throw being just a hair over 2.5. But in regards to your philosophy on the game plan, I want to make sure that we're speaking from what we saw was going to happen at all this year. You know what I mean? Like, in retrospect, absolutely, yes. But
I'm just saying, based off of the offensive line, like, the game plan for the Chargers has to be all year that we control the tempo of the game. Like, because they have the best offensive line, and they are supposed to have the best defensive line. With Khalil Mack and Bosa, you don't have to say another player. Those are two of the top 10 guys at rushing the passer in the league. Nobody should be able to throw the ball on them, so they should be able to just eat away at clock and tempo out anybody. The fact that they put up 34 points on us, I think, is crazy, because all they did was run the ball. Like,
the drives were long.
And I was about to say, is it crazy when you talk about how solid that O-line is? And, like, bro, like, we don't like the Chargers, but you, especially Colby, have every single one of those guys all over all your fantasy teams, because you know how high-powered this offense is. So if there was a way for us to beat them, it wasn't going to be having a stingy defense that just shuts down Justin Herbert. That's not realistic. It was going to be to outscore them. That's what we did. So you're right. Like, I thought as well, like, hey, let's just give him a balanced attack. Keep Justin Herbert off the field. Because if you're running the ball effectively, you just keep him off the field. The Chargers were doing that. The problem is, we just legitimately need no time to score. And we can drive down the field in two plays, three plays. Boom. 60 yards, 80 yards. It's crazy, bro. It's even faster this year, though. And I know it's only one game.
No, it is.
I only know it's only one game.
We were doing it all year long.
But yes,
I think
we did do it. We did do it all year.
And then out of nowhere, it didn't work. And you saw that it didn't work. And that's what kind of led to, like, yo, we need a balance in games. You need to be able to make adjustments to the run game in the game when you're not, you know, winning the game, you're trying to do. They had an answer for it.
Right.
So this didn't work out that way, so we didn't have the need for it. But that's why I went into it thinking, like, you know, hey, we're going to have that option. Obviously, we need to run the ball. And they just said, shut the hell up, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think that Mike's ability to make adjustments from year one to year two is the biggest growth that we've seen of all of our staff and players, everybody. Like, he, in the first half and in the second half, like, what was given to him and what he was able to do offensively to make the adjustments, like, we never got slowed down. We punted one time the whole first half. So I think that, for me, knowing a lot about that guy's background and, like, how he ran the running game in San Francisco and how much success they had, every San Francisco coach that's gone to another system, the first year that they were there, the running game was, like, in the 20s to 30s. And then in the second year, it's top 10. So my expectation for the running game is to be very high. But I don't know, man, because I've heard Mike say so many times that the big benefit of Tua is because his timing is so good and he's so pinpoint that he can get them the ball in space while on the run, that you have to have people that can do something with the ball in their hands in open space. That's like the most important aspect of what we're trying to add to the offense. And in everything we've drafted, that's what it all is.
Yeah.
And Braxton Berrios is a perfect example of that. Like, he's going to catch the ball at full speed, and then it's a punt return now.
The Brax addition kind of just opens up that soft middle of the field that, like, we couldn't really attack last year with, like, the personnel that we had. We tried to do it with Gesicki.
Like,
yeah, and Gesicki was just too big of a body that wasn't shifty enough. Like, that dime, I think the 3rd and 15 throw that he hit to Brax was better.
Yep.
Than the third down throw that he hit to Tyreek, even though the Tyreek throw was longer.
Absolutely.
And everything. But he pinpointed it on the run. It was dangerous. I think, speaking on McDaniel before we move on, the biggest thing that we knocked him on last year that he's already shown us is light years better is timeout management, bro. Because we were complaining about his terrible challenges and his weird use of his timeouts last year. And this year we thought he was hitting the pen and just banged another timeout randomly. If you
he said no pen hitting.
If you
no pen hitting until after the game, coach.
I have vaped before, but he if you look at the box score, 7-7, 13-10, 7-7, 9-10. So without that field goal, we lose by a point, bruv. Thank you, Mike.
That is pretty nuts.
That's just pound for pound looking at it. You want to talk about football being a chess match and Staley versus McDaniel being a chess match? That field goal, and Tua said it in the presser, like, dude, that was the difference, especially because Sanders doesn't send it to overtime.
So you would say that this year Mike McDaniel's stock seems to be going up.
I think that's an honorable mention. He wasn't on paper, but did you just see that?
Yeah,
No Teron, with question marks all over the place, and without our run game doing what we wanted it to be, and our defense not really—they didn't generate any turnovers, they didn't get any sacks until the end of the game, like they didn't do any of the stuff we've been all horny about. But they showed up in clutch time, and they did enough, you know.
Well, I think it's going to take a little bit for them to settle into this scheme. You know, this is an entirely different defense.
Let me ask you this. Maybe
let's see what happens in 3-4 weeks here. Let's see how dialed in it really gets.
All right. Well, how long does it take for Jason Sanders to get settled into the new special teams?
I wonder how long it's going to take for him to get settled in.
I had him in fantasy. He was solid,
Arizona,
dude.
For the Cardinals.
Colby, do not watch that replay and tell me that Bozo was solid after Tua and Tyreek Hill are out here doing grown man things against Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, and Asante Samuel and Aaron Kendricks. No thanks to Jason Sanders. Well, I can't say that because he hit
his stock down. Of thanks to him.
No, but you know what?
Jason Sanders stock down.
I'm not even going to give him credit for that field goal because, oh my God, did Tua not just drive down the field in 2 throws in 9 seconds?
Did you see the video, the reaction of Tua when he missed the extra point?
No, I need to, though.
Yeah, he grabs his thigh pads and, like, squints. He's like, Jesus. He's probably like, Jesus Christ, man.
But then he pulls it back together. He put something in that kid's locker after. Like, 100% something went in that dude's locker.
Nah, see, Tua's not built like that. He's going to go to
coach. He probably buys him dinner instead. He's just like, come on, Jay. Let me talk to you, buddy. We need to have a conversation. This isn't how God intended my season to play out. So I'm going to need you to start doing your job.
Boom. He's going to pull the God card. He's going to pull McDaniel to the side. Hey, coach, you know I love Jason. I think maybe you should have a talk with him about his extra points because it'd be really good if he didn't miss those after, you know, we did all that work on offense, okay? And just politely ask him to not do that again. And then he'll buy him, like, a motorcycle or something and, you know.
You know he's probably like, it's all good, bro. Next time.
But that's the thing. People think Tua's soft. I don't think he is. I think he might go to McDaniel and say, cut him. The same way that we were all in the, like, looking at each other talking about cut him. Like, bro, there's no way you're going to have me putting up 466 to have this bozo miss an extra point after all the crazy stuff I did. So, like,
the best part was that right before that, they put a graphic up for the Chargers kicker about how he hadn't missed the last 21 kicks within 50 yards.
Cameron
and
Dicker.
Then our kicker missed the extra point.
Just walks out there and does Jason Sanders things. But stock down Jason Sanders. But if we were really going to go and pick a couple of players that, you know, really made a difference in a good way or a bad way,
we're not even.
Let's start with offense.
Yeah, we're not putting Jason Sanders on this list. He doesn't count. His stock is terminated. No,
he doesn't play
stock.
Football.
Yeah, we sold his stock last year. He's dead to us. It doesn't matter.
I couldn't sell his stock for anything. It came crashing down.
Yeah, we just got.
It's worthless.
We just got to wait. Honestly, I might just.
You might as well own Dogecoin.
Hey, I sold that for a very solid profit. To be real, I bought it like a couple.
You
weeks
might as well own Dogecoin today.
Yeah, there you go. That's a better one. But yeah,
stock right, up. So on down. Offense. Who would you say you couldn't help but mention stock rising on offense for the 2023 season, Sut?
I mean,
I don't want to be the guy that's been screaming for the last, I don't know, 2.5, maybe 3 years. When I say
it's been 25 minutes, but you settled down since
2.5 years.
Wow.
To a tongue of my lower Sheen. Beer.
Because what, like, please tell me what else you need him to do. Do you need him? He might be able to beat Pat Mahomes straight up one-on-one. So if that happens in Germany, like, the only thing people can lean on, the only flaw in Tua's game, aside from the one game that we've seen so far, because I'm not going to get all crazy about week one and overreact, but the only actual flaw in his game is his health. And if Tua stays healthy, he does what we saw yesterday. We saw it a lot last year. It's not like this is a one-off fluke thing. So,
well, what is it? What is the difference? What is their stock up for here this year with Tua? What makes the difference between last year and this year?
The difference is you're just looking at a dude that clearly looks thicker and way more comfortable. He's not stressing. He's not worried. First down, second down, third down. He is just poised. He's relaxed. He's in full control. He's not taking funky hits. He's not doing stupid runs and doing silly things just trying to be a hero. He's getting rid of it. And when he's getting rid of it,
he did throw it away
multiple times.
That was nice to see.
And one of the the only interception was a pass interference that he was trying to draw a pass interference the same way he was drawing pass interferences earlier, which is elite quarterback stuff. That's what Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady used to do, since everybody loves Tom Brady. Yep. Just pulling
and
the flags on
people. It was an egregious missed call.
Egregious.
I was there. I was right above where it occurred. It was at the Chargers fans next to me. There was this old Chargers fan, and he was like, wow, I can't lie, Miami got dogged on that one. I can't believe it. We should have had a penalty. And he's like, it felt good. It felt good to be validated while I'm in the middle of screaming and a bunch of people that don't know what's going on.
You know the best part? Surrounded. You know the best part, Ouch? Obviously, you were live in the trenches, so you might have been watching a little bit. But I was watching a lot of that Titans game, watching our former boy Ryan Tannehill, converted Texas A&M wide receiver. And
you can never skip over
every single third down. He was completely useless. Third and six, third and two,
in there.
Third and 15. You might as well just punt it on third down, because having 10 out there, it doesn't
matter.
If it
was more than 7 yards, like more than seven, not happening.
Bro, even if it was less, he sucked. And
it was third and 15. And you know what happens is that my girlfriend taps me and looks at me, and I'm like, she's like, money down. And I'm like, yeah, because she knows now. I say, this is it, third down. Tua gets his money on third down right here. Let's go.
He's the man.
She knows the deal.
She's the man.
She literally said that right before, and I was like, okay. And I had been saying it to her. I was like, wow, third down again. This is nuts. Once Tua starts, like, converting those third downs, like, three, four
down
in a row. Well, the first down was nice too, but there was multiple third and tens, and then there was two different third and 15s. The last one to win the game, pretty much that best throw that we've probably ever seen him make, was a third and 10.
He took a
there
face
was a
mask
touchdown
on
he
one.
Threw. The fade that he threw to Tyreek was a third down, third and goal. It just like he just there. He just like
there, oh,
after
watch.
So many times
there's,
you're doing
there's
it.
There's two guys that are playing in the NFL right now that can do what we saw Tua do yesterday. It's Patrick Mahomes and it's Joe Burrow. And there is no one else in the NFL that can pass on the level that we just saw Tua do yesterday. And you saw
what
it yesterday.
Your boy Lamar, bro.
I love Lamar.
Lamar's a win Lamar? From being ahead.
He's
type of guy,
he's never been able to pass like that. He could.
Yeah, but you're ready to trade Tua. Let's trade Tua for Lamar.
We'll have a completely different offense with Lamar in there. We're running.
Yeah,
we're running. We're running.
That's what you said,
bro. I'll run QB midline option down y'all's throats. We'll have Lamar with 15 carries a game, 20 passes.
Yeah, he's gonna have
15
carries and one ACL.
He'll pass for 250 yards a game, three touchdowns. He'll rush for an extra 80. If it's a sketchier defense, he'll put up 150 rushing. But that's all we'll ask. And he sits every third quarter. We're done.
All right, stock up Lamar Jackson. Stock up a lot to a
yep.
Kobe, who would you say on offense?
You hate Lamar.
I do not hate Lamar. I love Lamar, but I got to give you trouble for that while I can. We'll see what happens next week. We'll revisit.
All right, so before, let's go ahead and think about what is the statistical probability that Lamar stays 7 points in fantasy football bad.
Not,
I mean, that's
not
going to happen.
Okay, cool.
Continue. Who do they play next week?
Baltimore?
I have no idea.
Here they took Lamar Jackson schedule.
I think you just type Ravens.
No. I just wanted to see his schedule.
AFC.
He's got the North. Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow.
They're going to be looking to have a real bounce back game. But
they just had a massage therapist drop 24 on him looking like a poop kitty. He rolled out with like 8 seconds and just threw it directly at a defender. Like,
all right, let's stay on topic here.
Anywho,
Colby, anybody you mentioned to have a stock up on offense?
I mean, I think it's the easy one. Besides the Tyreek catch that last drive, Braxton Berrios was that last drive. For us, like,
mm-hmm. yeah, that
the
one
third down catch,
multiple
the catch
downs.
In the middle of the field, like
the one
and
they
then
reviewed,
the interception. I think that a lot of people want to give fault to him, and like whether or not there was pass interference, like the route type and like where the throw was for the type of player that he is, he did everything that he could to make that a catch. Or, you know, not an interception, but, like, I don't think that there's any fault to give him about that. I think that he played his heart out. Five
Agreed.
Targets, 3 receptions, 42 yards. Like, Craycraft had a touchdown, but he didn't have as much impact as Berrios had.
And Craycraft had a crucial drop at one point. I still love him. Just saying. It happened.
I mean, he's our, what, fourth or fifth receiver on the depth chart? Like, and the fact that he can just pop up in the red zone and just handle his one touchdown a game when we ask him to. Like,
I love that he's going to get picked up in fantasy because of the fact that he has like over 12 points.
I'll randomly sprinkle him into my DraftKings lineups if I'm like, you know what? I want to get
like
really
DFS?
Sketchy. Yeah. If I want to get really sketchy at running back or spend up on quarterback and tight end, I'll be like, you know what? Let's just throw him in with a little Durham Smythe action and see if one of them wants to get a little frisky, you know? Like,
that was almost my stock up was going to be Smythe, and he should be mentioned.
There's no reason to talk stock up on Durham Smythe on this show because we've been talking all summer about how he's him.
Stock up doesn't mean that you were bad at any point, but in this case, we did, and most people did share concerns about the tight end room. But when you have what it was 11 targets I think Durham had, or somewhere nine
six
seven
he had six
like
targets
that.
3 receptions, 44 yards, 14.7 average. Though, like, our averages across the board besides Raheem Mostert were 13.3 was the lowest with River Craycraft. Like, everyone was 14 yards and up per catch.
Wow. And then
God,
I mean,
I
there was just
love it.
He got a lot of work in the beginning of the game, and like then they just kind of went straight to Tyreek after that.
Tyreek. I mean,
yeah, a little Berrios, little Craycraft. But in the beginning, it was all Durham. Like, they were forcing that, and it worked. And Durham Smythe is fast enough to win, and he surprised me. So, I mean, stock up in that sense, you know, like just up from wherever I thought he was, up from probably wherever you thought he was in the sense of what usage he got, Sut.
I mean, absolutely. I didn't think the usage was going to be like that. I mean, you kind of have to assume Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, you know, they've been around NFL offenses for more than a year. They know if their starter at a position is salvageable or not. And they weren't just going to roll out this season if Durham Smythe wasn't at least good enough to do what they were going to ask him to do. And what they're going to ask him to do isn't anything complicated. We're going to want you to block, and then every once in a while, you're going to run a drag or a little short whip route or a little delay route or something quick. And if our deep guys are covered, like we were saying, Tua's going to get rid of the ball in under 3-4 seconds, no matter what, regardless of who's blocking, regardless of who's blitzing. It doesn't matter. He's getting rid of it quick. And if our fast guys aren't there immediately, it has to go to someone. And if it's not Brax, it's probably Durham because he's there. So
they didn't run a lot of 12 personnel at all. Still got him the ball. I mean, I'm glad they didn't, but
yeah. But like just by default, he's going to be involved. He's going to be active. Like some games he's going to have 7 targets. Some games he's going to have 10 targets. Some games he's going to have 2 because we're just going to be able to throw all over them with our actual guys. Some games we're going to feature Eazy-E and some of these other receivers a little more, you know?
I liked spreading out and making sure that he was a threat early in the game. Bro. That was nice. I think that they should continue with that, but... Also, we have to mention the offensive line guys. Austin Jackson, for one, just because of where we probably all thought his ceiling was, or floor, whichever you want, however you want to look at it.
The ceiling is the flow.
Absolutely competent in this game, and I have specifically called him incompetent multiple times. This was the first time we've ever seen a glimpse of him being able to use his athleticism to his advantage at a professional level. Agreed?
I don't want to go that hard and say it's the first time. But
I mean, he's never had a game.
I will say
a couple hiccups.
I mean, this is the worst
EFF grade he's ever had,
but this is the happiest he's ever made me in a game.
He got a lot of help from the right guard. Robert Hunt, big dog.
There was also multiple one-on-one situations where you actually saw him hold his own versus Mac or Mr. Bosa. And you're just like, dang, okay, Austin. Like,
I'm just saying, we haven't gone a game where I don't think you're like, his name is brought up either for like a couple penalties or just blowing one big one where it's just fuck egregious.
You're right about that.
Agreed.
You didn't say
that's,
you're
that's
right about
a good
that.
Call.
You're right. He was quiet.
He didn't show up. Yeah. You don't want offensive
beautiful.
Linemen showing up.
Yeah. He was very quiet. There was no Austin Jackson announcements. He didn't get banged up. He didn't get blown past for a sack. Like it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you his best.
I mean, part
I'll
of
give
that...
you his best because you were there and you hate him more than anyone ever has.
I mean, stock up, man.
Stock's
all
up,
I'm
baby.
Saying.
The stock
went up on AJ, all right? Wherever you want to take out of that.
I bet Isaiah wins is because he sent Liam to the shadow realm and Liam had one snap and still graded out lower than Isaiah.
Also,
Wynn.
Somebody you didn't hear, I think he did have one penalty, but you didn't hear too much of him, man. And yeah, that's also not bad. Kendall Lamb, though, wow. Absolutely wow. For me, from Kendall Lamb.
Kendall Lamb jerseys for the boys for Christmas?
I mean, maybe, bro. And Teron's still, like, coming back. And then Kendall Lamb is what? I don't even – can he play, right? Is he a swing or is that just Keon? Like, Kendall Lamb looks like we're in good shape. God bless, because we did this multiple times last year when one of our random backup linemen had a good game and then didn't. But he looked great.
You know where Kendall you know where Kendall Lamb went to college? Appalachian State.
Not. Okay.
You know what?
Appalachian.
You know what that tells me?
No.
What's that?
He's a dog.
Are they literally the dogs?
If you're from App State and you're still in the NFL
and you made it to the league
from 2015 and you made it through Houston and Cleveland and Tennessee and you're still cooking?
I thought Appalachian State was that show on Spike TV.
No, that's Blue Mountain State.
I know, I'm just
yeah, and I to you, good sir.
Okay, but that is going to end it for the offensive up. What about down, boys? So you see, did you notice anybody that you could throw a little slander at on the offense during this performance?
I don't want to throw much. I want to throw much at one person, but I'll
give me percentage of slander that you are throwing.
I'm going to give this guy 10%.
10% slander? That's nothing. They do that in New York every day.
Okay, well, 10 is my number growing up, and this guy has been my guy growing up. And I don't want to do this to him because it's only week one, but I think we may be seeing a trend with our boy Xavier Howard, dude. Like,
oh my.
I just don't know if he – we said last year a lot that he lost a step. So I don't know if he's just completely lost a step or he just
pulled both groins.
Okay, did he pull both groins
Saturday getting off the plane because he was getting
he's getting cooked
on one-on-ones. He was missing tackles. There was a couple of plays where he blew up blockers and, you know, forced things back inside. He was still making big boy plays. It almost makes me feel like if we have this much of a problem at strong safety and we don't like Brandon Jones and we don't like Deshaun Elliott, we don't need to keep asking Xavien Howard to one-on-one the best receiver on the other team because he straight up can't do it anymore. Keenan Allen is one of the slowest wide receiver ones in the league. He's just a crispy route runner, absolute technician. He's fantastic at that, but he's not fast. And X was still getting burned by him. So I don't know, man. I think maybe he needs to start thinking about a position change. It's worked for a lot of players. It worked for Charles Woodson. It extended his career by about 10 years. I don't know if you remember, but I'm quoted on this show, season one, mentioning that I believe Xavien Howard will outplay Charles Woodson.
You did say that, and I did say relax. I did tell you to relax. Now look at us.
Well, here we are. So maybe it's time to, you know, consider the position change. And we're not a team. I mean, with Flo, we were down to make a position change. And when we did, Eric Rowe went from a cuttable corner that all of us were ready to shank to a tight end erasing lockdown strong safety. So
I can't believe Eric Rowe's not on our team today. I still cannot believe it.
Isn't it kind of weird? Can't. After
it's crazy.
It's because we're getting ready to move X there, and there's no need. But
all right, well, let me ask
for right
you
now,
Cody,
his stock's down until he changes position.
Is it possible that this is a product of Xavien Howard settling in this new system, and that maybe some of the things he's being asked to do come from different angles? Maybe he's not settled in. Maybe it was a little bit of a warm-up game for him.
I feel like we didn't get to see the defense until the final drive. And whenever we did, it looked unbelievable and unbeatable and like it needed to be. I think that they had a hard time in general stopping the run and just like seemed like the defense was a little bit lost. It's like you're saying, it seemed like it might have been scheme related. I agree with Sutt on the point that he's a step slower. I don't agree that he needs to change to safety yet. I think that's a bit... bit early.
Eventually,
I think that he had a couple penalties that he shouldn't have. The last one that he had was the worst. It was the worst one. Shouldn't have had it. Just like give up the play instead of giving up the pick or the penalty. It's so much worse.
Yeah. Well, hopefully things turn around. If not, this is one more week towards Ramsey coming back as well.
Y'all ever
other than Xavien Howard,
y'all ever seen Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember Randall, the little purple dude?
Yep.
He said, "Do you hear that? It's the winds of change." I'm just saying.
Did
dude.
You watch this recently, or is that like your favorite quote?
That's my favorite quote from the movie. And Mike Wazowski, did you do your paperwork?
We might have another winds of change coming along here soon if we can't get it figured out at linebacker. I don't know. I chose David Long Jr., who looked like he had a real rough start to the game, really in the first quarter, and then we saw less and less of him until we didn't really see any of him. They had a lot of Van Ginkle out there. Saw a little Duke Riley sprinkled in. But early he whiffed a tackle through someone just breaking his ankles in the box. He had one where he slowed a running back down behind the line of scrimmage, but still didn't complete the tackle, and he ended up getting a little bit more of a chunk of yardage after the play. He was in pass coverage on somebody. It might have been Keenan Allen or Mike Williams early in the game up the sideline, and obviously got toasted there. So I don't know what's going on with that. And I do remember Vic Fangio, like, you know, we kind of talked about it. We didn't know how serious to take Vic Fangio based on what Benjamin Albright had said when he kind of seems a little pessimistic about his players during camp. But man, if he was talking about the linebackers, now I see what's going on. So I got stock down for him. He was supposed to be a huge asset. You know, he was like
in the run game. And now we've talked about that, how hard this run game was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm hoping that that's what it was. I'm hoping it's a scheme. I'm hoping that,
I mean,
you know, other teams aren't able to look at this. I'm hoping that the New England Patriots aren't going to be able to look at this from Ramondre Stevenson and start, you know. Yeah.
I was about to say. They would love that. Like, dude, yes, they're a very good offensive line, but we were watching a lot of broken tackles, arm tackling, second level, third level people not making tackles. That has nothing to do with the offensive line. That's
you're right,
guys.
And like that that broken tackle on Gerald Everett on the outside, that was horrible. Both of them went for the wrong area. Like there's going to be mistakes, right? That's why it's we football. Have yeah. the godfather of the modern defense as our defensive coordinator, is because he's going to be able to adjust by week 10. None of that should be happening. That's the
what
hope.
I'm hoping.
That, yeah. It better be, because I'm going to be honest. I don't like seeing two running backs get 16 carries apiece, one getting 91 yards and the other getting 117.
Well,
that's,
let me ask
that's
you
bad
this.
Vibes.
To play devil's advocate, though, because I'm with you. I mean, I'm the one that started it off with the linebackers and it basically being about the run stopper, which is what David Long was brought here to do. He led the league in run stops as a linebacker, I'm pretty sure, in Tennessee last year.
Mm-hmm.
But
lowest graded on our team, for what it's worth, on PFF, besides Emmanuel.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was a tough watch. But I'm hoping that they pull it together, like you said. I'm hoping that this is just a week one. Maybe he, you know, I think he was injured towards the end of last season. Maybe, you know, shake the cobwebs off there. Or, you know, maybe we had the game in control for as much as, you know, it seemed like a close game. But at the same time, like, they didn't really stop our offense once. We turned it over twice in the red zone. And we scored within like a 3-minute span on every drive pretty much that we had the ball and did score. Or even if you count the ones where we got to the red zone, it was like 3 minutes. So what if Vic was calling that, you know, expecting them to be able to slow the run down a little bit better than that, not 6 yards a carry, maybe 4 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, and he was okay with that? What if they were okay with that at the time and just kind of forcing them to pass, playing a game with Kellen Moore over there and saying, no, pass the ball? Because when they did pass the ball, it wasn't as successful as when they tried to run the ball, right?
Absolutely.
Not at all. So not unless they were passing to the running back.
Exactly.
Or a quick little whip route or something just to the flats, like,
yep.
That we just had to come up and make a tackle for.
Anything deep. There was a couple plays, like, obviously, but anything really deep. I remember one 40-yarder to Keenan Allen, and, like, that was it. Nothing really chunking us down the field, but the 55-yard run up the middle with Eckler.
That was tough.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I think that's the real problem. But other than that, he was forcing their run drives to take 10 minutes, in a sense. You know, you could say that they purposely did it, and that was their game plan to try and control the game and eat up the clock. But how can you do that if you can't stop the offense over and over and over again? Why would you stick to the run game like that? I mean, I respect the commitment to it, but maybe Vic Fangio knew what he was doing. I don't know.
I mean, you want to talk Fangio, honorable mention should have gone to Jalen Phillips with 5 hurries, dude. And it didn't feel like it because there were so many that we saw him just not get there. But towards the end there, you really, obviously, we all started seeing them just come on. And like, it's that 15, man.
You're saying stock up on Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, yeah, honorable mention, because now I'm looking at all the numbers and I'm just like, oh, like he had
seven tackles
and a sack and a hit.
Yeah.
And he was our third highest graded tackler behind Howard and Holland. And our sixth highest in pass coverage. Who is he covering? Hopefully no one.
Probably the running back coming out of the flat or something.
And,
but
and the craziest part is he's the third highest pass rusher behind Justin Bethel and Kader Kohu. Obviously.
Bethel had a fun game too.
Fun.
Got it. I want to shout him out. I mean, he was injured, I'm pretty sure, in training camp. Like, he's not, I don't even think he's 100%.
He's almost 40 years old, dude. He's been in the league for like 13 years or something.
He just came out and like when it was go time, like, dude, he was there. So I love that.
He said, don't worry, coach, I'll go get him. But
who you got? Colby, if you got to give somebody some props on defense, definite stock up for this game already week one. Who you going?
I mean, game winner, Zach Sealer on the last two sacks on the third and the fourth down, he was the one initiating the sack. The guy's been such a great rotational player for us. And the fact that, like, Wilkins got all the credit on the broadcast, but, like, Sealer was the one that got there first. So I think that he deserves it all. I legitimately think he won us the game. Like, he helped that defense because Phillips didn't get there on any of those last ones. He wasn't even able to. The middle of the line got exploded on, and shortest distance.
You're 1,000% right. And when everybody watches the film, they'll go, "Oh wow!" Like Sealer basically just bull rushed his way and like powered his way into the quarterback, and just that one step from Herbert is all you need for the rest of the guys to get there. And like, yep. It got to the point on that last one where Sealer just bull rushed through Herbert. And by the time like Herbert tried to recover himself, gang's all here. Let's go home, boys. We're flying back to the Rock. Just beautiful. I know we were talking negatives about that, but we were just looking at stats, and there's just so many stats.
But if you guys want to go to the negatives, I think on the exact opposite stance, Bradley Chubb and Emmanuel Ogba combined for 88. Yeah, on a negative, they combined for 88 snaps, one tackle, and three tackle assists.
How much do we pay? How much do we pay Chubb? I can look that up. Actually, yeah,
the most.
It's not crazy terrible in comparison to other pass rushers, but he definitely needs to show up more than that. I was just looking at it the other day. I think it's a five-year,
$110 million with $53 million guaranteed and an average salary of $22 million for one tackle.
We've already paid like more than half of his guaranteed money. I'm pretty sure up front, and then, you know, like Greer's setting all the contracts up like this, not to justify what you're seeing on the field, but let's just take the number for what it is.
Talked about it. There's lots of opportunities for this to improve, but we're talking stock down from week one. I think both of those players, Ogba was someone that was never supposed to be great whenever we first got him. And then he was the person getting all these, like we had 3 or 4 weeks in a row where we had a defensive touchdown because of Emmanuel Ogba. Right. I love him. Soft place in my heart, but 18 snaps and one tackle assist. Like he's either not getting out there because he's not able to, because the other guys are just better than him. And then that's an issue. Like we need more from him. We're paying that dude a lot of money too.
Yep.
Definitely. I mean, I'm with you there.
And Jalen Phillips is shitting on all of them because he's going out here and he's putting up five hurries and seven tackles. Like he's on a rookie contract.
So far.
I'm just saying he's on a rookie contract and he's not a highly paid asset. He's trying to become one, but I think the difference between Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, no disrespect, because Chubb is going to continue to produce for us and get work, but Phillips is just so hungry, and I just don't think Chubb's really hungry like that. Like, he was.
I don't even perceive him like that. He's had a lot of injuries, and he hasn't really had a injury-free year since that year that he led the league or was top five in sacks and pressures, that 2018 Denver.
Take care of your body, son.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think he's not hungry. I think Vic Fangio being here, best chance for him to have a big year. And I 100% agree with stock down, but hopefully this time next week we're talking about stock up for him. And
oh, yeah, you know, 3 seconds.
And they switch off and on between the two of them, and that there's a good consistent pressure.
3 seconds.
He's going to have an opportunity.
Absolutely.
You tear Mac
Jones
up,
with JP
dude.
On the other side.
Tear up Mac Jones next week. You get 3 sacks on Mac Jones. I'll fly to Colby's restaurant and I'll punch him in the face in the middle of his shift. Oh my
God. Well, maybe just get 2. Maybe just get 2 sacks, or maybe go for 4. You know, just like don't land on that.
Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, get 4 sacks.
Sut, who would you have for defensive stock up?
Ooh, defensive stock up? I mean, he's already supposed to be a household name. I don't know why everybody else hasn't figured it out, but they will very soon. Can't ban the snowman. Javon Holland. How many times did you see that young man come flying onto the screen and just take out whoever had the ball? Doesn't matter if it's the quarterback himself, if it's a running back on a quick check down, if it's a receiver deep, no matter what was going on, he came flying in and didn't miss tackles. Like,
and he was on the field a lot.
Did he come off the field? I think he graded out with the most snaps that we had. Yeah, so him, Deshaun Elliott, Jerome Baker, 80 snaps apiece. And then Cater and X with 78. And he graded out as our second highest tackler behind, of course, the legendary Justin Bethel.
The dog.
Now, that was overall defense. He actually graded out second highest on tackling behind just X. He graded out third highest in coverage behind Chubb and, again, the legend Justin Bethel. Like, he is, I mean, he's an all-around safety. He's going to come down and support the run. He's going to support in the pass. He is, what, 6'3", 6'4"? He's an enormous body on top of that. And people don't really understand. Oh, no, he's only 6'1". He just has really long arms.
He did gain some weight this offseason, too.
He has no neck. He's never had a neck. He's just
a good sign.
A big hit stick. And
but I tell you, from my seats, you know, like when you're there live and you get the field seems a little bit smaller and easier to digest than what you're viewing on TV. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere, flying around left, right, every play. Like, he knows what's going on with the ball faster than almost anyone else on that side of the ball, and he's going like a missile directly towards it.
That's a guy that you want to talk about a motor, and obviously, like, most of y'all know, like, I'm coaching football. The hardest thing that we have is trying to get our safeties and our DBs to just run downhill and just tackle a ball carrier head up. Everybody just naturally wants to just tackle people at an angle, because who's trying to tackle someone head up? What if they run me over? Or slash, they're bigger than me traditionally, so I don't want to do that. Javon Holland has 0% of that in his system. He's coming downhill, whether it's Derrick Henry or Josh Allen or whoever, and just trying to yam you, whether it was Eckler, whether it was Herbert, whether it was Williams, Keenan Allen, doesn't matter. I'm trying to yam you. I'm trying to send you
he's
backwards.
Always trying to punch the ball out. Every Bro. Tackle, he's trying to punch the ball out. Every single one.
And every play where he's in coverage, where he's coming over the top and trying to bail somebody else out because they blew their coverage, he's trying to punch it out of that too.
Oh yeah, and he's putting a lick on you too. He's making you pay. You're gonna know that it was him that put it on you.
Bro, there's gonna be a 1-2-3 game series this season where he just goes on one of those dominant runs, similar to how Minka went on one of those runs a couple of years ago, and then everybody
Don't
just figured out Minka was good.
Podcast again.
Hey, man. I respect an OG.
Did you see McCaffrey shake him out his soul, boy?
Hey, he didn't shake him.
Oh, my
God. He stiffied that boy to the shadow realm.
Stiffied him, and then he spun, too. There was one where he spun around him. I mean, week I feel like I'm seeing Minka Fitzpatrick either get stiff on Derrick Henry.
Listen, man.
It's so great. See you later, dude.
You only see it because he's so active on every play trying to make a play. If you cannot get mad at him for Christian McCaffrey
Jalen Waddle did it to him too, dude. It's just so great. Just gets put in a blender.
Bro, big time players. They make plays. But again, Christian McCaffrey, like, that's an anomaly. Jalen Waddle, that's an anomaly. Minka's Minka, man. Don't hate. But Minka's more of a household name than Javon. I think that changes this year, because you are right. Yeah.
Whose household, Sut? How are you raising your children? Because it ain't this house.
I mean, I left my Minka Fitzpatrick jersey at Alvy's house, so hopefully Elias isn't being raised on that, but he could be.
I hope he probably threw it away.
I'll get him a Holland jersey, because again,
there you go.
Again, everyone loves Steelers defenders, and Minka had a couple pick sixes one year and almost won Defensive Player of the Year, but didn't. Javon Holland, hey, don't put your money on it, but don't be surprised if he starts making a run. He gets a couple of pick sixes and some forced fumbles and some crazy stuff. He starts getting some of these big plays to run his way. I don't know. Don't sleep on it.
Well, I would definitely keep Javon up there. That was my number one as well. But up on defense, Colby had Sealer. You had Javon. I'm going to go with Cater Coho then, man. Cater Coho, just seeing that article circulate by, like, the Chargers writers, like, oh, they're going to task second-year Cater Coho on Keenan Allen, expect for a big game. And then the fantasy networks were all like, start Keenan Allen, this, that. Well, I mean, for when Kohu was on him, he held him in check last year, and he also did a pretty good job this year. Aside from that, comes up with 6 solo tackles, 9 total, and then he had that sack on Justin Herbert on, what was it, 3rd down, which should have been a safety, in my opinion, from where I was sitting, and they didn't give us a, like, I don't know why there's not a camera on the pylon or above the pylon directly at the goal line every single game to where you can just see perfectly, but from my angle, you couldn't tell that he extended the ball over. I didn't get to even, like, really see that there might have been the reason until the car ride home while I'm, like, seeing the clip circulate on the internet. But, man, Kader Kohu, absolute dog. So, and I mean, he started too. So, just absolute dog on the other side of Xavien Howard. We're very lucky to have him. Stock way up.
The move that Herbert made to try to juke him out, it would have worked on most corners. Like, he kind of did like a little 1-2, I'm just going to roll out the other way. And, like, Kader just had no part of it. He lifted him off the ground and picked him up.
Textbook
and said,
tackle.
Just like, I'm a grown man. You're not. Mm-hmm. Sit down, overpaid.
Wrapped him up like just how you would Sut. Are you still there, buddy?
Oh, obviously.
You show that to those children. You show that Kader Kohu tackle to those children, how he wrapped them up right there. Say, this is how it's done.
It's exactly what Colby said. Like, I don't want to say 99. So let's say 85% of even professional corners are biting on that move. Like, you just have to almost respect it. And the level of discipline it took for him to just square up and be like, nah, I'm just going to pick your big white ass up and I'm going to slam you. And it is what it is. Like,
78 of the 80 snaps. Like, only God. 3 players played more snaps than this man. Like, that he tackles. Is a huge part of our defense.
And, you know, he's still listed as a slot cornerback, but, bro, he starts at corner. Like, he was our starting corner, essentially, for that game. And, like, I'm sorry, he's really good.
I
don't care.
Crazy.
I don't care that he's undrafted. I just don't care. He's a very good corner. We've drafted corners. We've picked up corners. We've traded for corners. Like, some dudes just do the job. And I don't know if it's more
Vontae Davis-esque.
Oh, wow.
Just saying, the tackle, the wrapped up tackle from the cornerback.
God, can we get an honorable mention of Vontae Davis just retiring at halftime?
Just saying, man. Just saying, it's very the ghost of Vontae Davis out there in Kader Kohu.
I absolutely love Vontae Davis. I love that you gave Kader Kohu that. I hope Cam Smith is our new Sean Smith. And once we move X back to safety, we'll have X and Javon back deep.
All right. Guess we're going to have to wrap it up here.
But just hear me out. You got Jalen Ramsey, Kader Kohu, Sean Smith as your corners with Xavien Howard and Javon Holland. Throw the ball. I dare you to throw the ball. I'm going to pick that shit. One of my guys is going to pick that shit. You ain't complete nothing on that. So keep making fun of me, but I'll see you in 2 years when that's our exact fucking defense.
Well, I don't know how you feel about next week, but I'm very excited. Who's the great quote? The best thing about being 1-0 is you got a chance to go 2-0, boys. All right?
Next week. 1-0.
Before Sunday, we'll have the preview of the New England Patriots game. Probably led by Sut, myself, maybe a special guest. Thank you, Colby, for joining us. Obviously, you want to plug everything, the YouTube, the Twitter. I know your Twitter handle is at profootball_pod, correct?
And then my personal one is at coach_PFP. And you can follow the boys at Hulk_PFP and at Austin_PFP.
Oh,
and then we're on
boys.
YouTube, Pro Football Pod, every week on Monday and Friday. Giving you all that
Absolutely.
Fantasy football.
You gotta check out the YouTube page for the fantasy content. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and you're just panicking about what's going to go on, guaranteed you there's a very recently uploaded video at youtube.com/@profootballpod telling you what you should be doing and why you shouldn't be doing what you were thinking about doing. So you got to check them boys out. Sut, don't mention hey, Xavier Howard playing safety again. But other than that, you got anything else you want to say?
Listen, man, I told my kids today in practice, I kind of blew a gasket because I'm like, listen, we're only 0-2. It's not that big of a deal, but we've lost one winnable game and one game where you guys just didn't try. I turned off the film for the team that we're playing this week because they are horrendous. I don't need to make a scouting report. I don't need to point out keys and tendencies or any of that other stuff. They're just not a good team. And if we do not beat them, I will question everything that I'm doing with all of you. So please give me a reason to keep coming out here and do something.
So we need to tune in for week 3.
Link will be live on the Twitter. It's something on the FHSAA website. If you want to be a real goon, just hit up one of Colby's pages, DM him. He'll get you into Valdez's Discord. Valdez, he streams all the games.
We'll be watching Hollins High School.
And I'm telling you, if Hollins doesn't win this one, boys, we'll have to figure something out.
Kids aren't coming home for dinner. They can stay on the field if they don't win this one.
When I tell you I stopped 3 times today for up-downs, for just like walking and like light stuff, just like, bro, I am not having it. And I've been screaming at them, I am not losing this week. Like, you guys.
All right, so we're going to have a Sunday night game where the Patriots win directly after Hollins High School wins by probably, I'm going to say, they're going to win by 3 touchdowns. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. You're going to get the boys fired up. They're going to realize what's going on and how bad the other team is and take advantage of it. And you're going to ride the momentum into the next week.
There we go. And you figured it out.
Right. Other than that, follow the podcast at Day One Dolphins. Follow Sut at Chief Sut if you want to hear him talk about Xavier Howard's plans at safety. Follow me, your boy, at YFins, YY. May change that handle after this season. Until then, fins up.
Fins for the win again.
What do you mean? We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're the